What up, Whiskey Ginger fans? Welcome back to the show. If this is your first time joining us, I say this all the time. Please hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell so you know when we post new videos. I am so happy about the guest this week. It's Mark Rubier, who's one of the most dope, talented musicians, comedians, comedic entities, personalities, nudist, freeform dancer. He's brilliant, beautiful, dope, and cool as shit. I was happy to have him on via Skype from New York. And we had a great little interview. It was incredible. I hope we can link up together. We even spoke a little bit about maybe performing together in the future. Hope so. Right now, the tour dates are being rescheduled. Everything is on hold and shifting. You can go to andrewsantino.com to find out all those tour date information. We are going to be releasing tickets for Boston. I'm going to be playing Boston October 17th, my birthday weekend, at the Wilbur Theater in Boston. Tickets go on sale next week. You can check on Ticketmaster.com or AndrewSantino.com is probably the primary place. Don't buy tickets from a random website because people get ripped off all the time. So go to AndrewSantino.com for all that. You can also go to our Patreon, which we're promoting now big time. I'm doing Cheeto Chats once every other week where I just kind of do a solo episode. We also do live Q&A on YouTube every other week. You can check out all the different tiers, but Patreon.com is where all that solo shit's going to be. And also on there is our merch. AndrewSantino.com has all the merch. We got shirts, we got hats, we got sweaters, all that good stuff created by an incredible crew of artists that we're very happy to put out there for you. I know it's tough times, but if you want some merch, it's there at AndrewSantino.com. I am done rambling. Let's just start this thing already, dude. I wear my sunglasses on pods. Look, dude, I'm a big proponent of wearing sunglasses, of course, because I live in Southern California, so you kind of need them almost every day of your life. These are incredible. These are called Shady Rays. Shady Rays are high quality, and they're less expensive than all these fancy brands out there that are ripping you off to just lose or break sunglasses. It's the best warranty in the business, by the way. They have replacements for lost or broken, lifetime craftsmanship warranty, plus 10 meals to fight hunger in America with every single order. So you buy one of these and you're helping out people. They're extremely well-priced. They're very durable. I throw them around, to be honest with you. I like to throw sunglasses around in my house and in my car when I'm on the move. So I love how durable they are because they can take a hit and keep on running. They're polarized, so everything looks a little bit prettier when you're on some or some glick, 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 glick. They are dope. Honestly, Shady Rays are great sunglasses. If anything breaks or for any reason, no matter what happens, dropped in the ocean, whatever, they'll replace them. And it's just at their pocket. In their pocket, they'll take out their money and give it right back to you, and they'll replace your sunglasses. The product is incredible, and it's much, much cheaper than what you're paying for these high-end expensive sunglasses that you end up losing, scratching, breaking, or getting stolen. I can't recommend them enough. And our listeners, because I've teamed up with these cats, they're giving the best deal that they can right now. It's like Black Friday type of stuff to get in and steal it. Use the code WHISKEY for 50% off two or more pairs at ShadyRays.com. That's incredible. You get half off two or more pairs when you use the promo code WHISKEY at ShadyRays.com. Buy one, get one free. Or you can get two pairs of shades for only $48 right now because of this code. One time, first time user, you can't keep using it. But redeem the code right now at ShadyRays.com. You can find all their newest and best shades. Use that promo code WHISKEY. Get half off and stock up on some shades, my friend. Summer's a coming.
In here, we pour whiskey.
You're that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Whiskey Ginger. My guest today is one of my favorite people on earth. I say that for all my guests, but I mean it once again today. It's Mark Rubier. Yeah.
Hey, what up, Andrew? Hey. How you doing, baby?
Cheers. Cheers to you. You're drinking a beer.
I am
drinking a whiskey.
I'm having
Cheers.
A little, what am I having? A True Love Mexican style lager.
Ooh, True Love.
Chin chin.
Where'd you get that from?
I get it from, I actually just ordered yesterday this service called Tap Room, and they'll just deliver you like 18 random beers that they like to your door, wow. Cold, ready to drink. It's a
Is
dream
it an
come
app?
True. Yeah, it's an app.
Oh, that's awesome. Tap Room. All right, I'm gonna have to check. But is it only beer?
That's
or
this
do they
week's
do,
sponsor,
they do
by
other
the way.
Booze?
I'm just throwing you that.
Tap Room. This show is brought to you by Tap Room. Drink it up.
Are you a child? It doesn't matter. You have access to the internet. Order.
Yeah, they don't check your IDs. I notice that when I get booze delivered, they never check IDs.
Nothing.
They don't care at all.
I didn't even make contact with the dude. I pressed yes, I'm 21 on the website. They drop it off in the elevator. I could be 12.
Yeah, that's great though. It's beautiful. I was talking to somebody about that the other day. How I went and ordered Thai food, and the Thai food place, because of what's going on, was like, you know, we're giving away huge discounts on booze because no one's coming in and drinking alcohol. And
yeah,
they were like, we're allowed to sell booze to go, but we're doing it at discounted rates, and it has to be has to be like the full bottle of sake.
Oh,
so I was like, all right. She was like, it's 35 to 45% off. I was like, shit, Jesus. Give me two bottles. I'll take it. But of course, the kid that brought it out to me was like 16. It was like the son, you know? It's like always at a Thai restaurant. It's like the grandpa, the mom, the dad,
the family.
Kid. Yeah, the entire family, a neighbor, you know, the kid's best friend. Yeah. And this like 16-year-old kid brought it out to me, and he just handed it to me, and he's like, okay, thanks. And he ran away. And I was like, anybody could have taken this. Yeah. Like literally, not only could it not have been my order, but it also could have been just somebody could have stolen booze.
Right.
And if I was in high school right now during the pandemic, I'd be ordering so much alcohol to the house.
Dude, oh my God. They have it so much. So good now, dude.
It's so well, like when we were kids, like how old are you now?
I'm 31 now.
Yeah. When like we still had to, did you play Hey Mister when you were a kid?
No. What was that?
Do you know what that is?
No.
Hey, there's a bunch of different names for it. Hey, Mister is when you go outside a liquor store or a 7-Eleven or a grocery store and you ask a guy.
Oh, yeah,
who's
to go in
and
help you out.
He's like in his 40s, sometimes 50s, and he looks divorced and he looks like he's had it. You know what I mean? Like he's been through a lot of shit. And Hey, Mister, would you mind buying me and my friends a case of beer? Because it was funny when you couldn't ask for alcohol as a kid. Because that's a little too...
Yeah, right.
It's too rough.
You have to be more specific.
But a case of beer is like, it's okay to buy a kid a case of beer. It'd be hard to buy, for me too, like I wouldn't buy a kid a bottle of booze. I'd be like, I don't know, kid.
Yeah.
But I'd give him, I'd buy a kid a case
probably
of beer.
Probably some beer. Actually, I don't see that's it. And you know, that's the thing. You're right. You got to find the, and I, by the way, I didn't know that that's what the game was called, but I played it a lot. Mm-hmm.
In Chicago, where I'm from, it was called Hey Mister. Oh, I don't know what it is. What did you guys say? What did you guys say when you were going to go do that?
There was no script. It was, and like 99% of the time it didn't work because I've always looked like 7 years younger than I am. I don't know if that's catching up with me now, but, yeah, dude, it was, you just have to find the right person. You said like, exactly like you said, the right kind of miserable to where they're like totally up for buying small children alcohol.
Yeah. Yeah. You can feel it when they get out of their Buick LeSabre. You can feel it radiating from their chest.
Just
that they're like, I'll buy
know.
This kid booze. Yeah. Fuck it. Yeah. What do I care? All right, let me jump backwards a little bit. So for people that don't know who you are, A, you're a fool for not knowing, and B, welcome to the wonderful world that is Mark Rubio. You are a musician, a dancer. Let me just fill in the blanks
dancer
here.
Dancer is
even
really,
you
that's
might not
generous.
Say, yeah, that is- a musician, dancer, I would say comedic personality. I go back and forth with this stuff. Being a stand-up, I get in arguments with people all the time over when people use the phrase comedian.
Yeah.
But I would argue you are a comedian because you make comedic content and you're also a musician. So I like, do you disagree? Do you not say you're a comedian?
Well, that's very sweet. I don't know. Yeah, I don't really know how to package myself. I've had a lot of trouble with that because I get asked what this is or what the label is, and it's I just maybe one man show, one man idiot, you know, one man,
yeah, one man idiot, okay,
one man piece of shit. I'm just one package.
can that be the name of your album, your next album is one man piece of shit?
Guys, look out, I'm dropping like this new mixtape on Dat Piff. It's called One Man Piece of Shit.
Yeah. Dude, do you put a lot of stuff out on Dat Piff, by the way? Do you ever put anything out on there?
I don't. I think like maybe a decade ago I put, you know, old shit I was working on out there, but I don't even, are they around anymore?
I think the app is still around. I like it because you can find weird, I still have it, because you can find weird, kind of this subterraneous strange. I fall into little wormholes of music on Dat Piff sometimes, and that you can't find it anywhere else.
That's it's kind of like Bandcamp does that as well, because you know it's just like a public marketplace, no curation, there's no one looking at what's being uploaded, so it's just like anything goes.
It's great.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Well, that was kind of the origination of what YouTube 100%. Tried to do. Yes. You know, they tried to be this like kind of algorithm-free, hands-off, user-generated content creator. But unfortunately, as you know, I mean, you're in the YouTube space because all your shows, a lot of your live shows you put up on YouTube as well as performances from your house. But
I do.
They've started to put their fingers all over everything. And is it like messing with you? Have you felt that at all?
I mean, I don't really mess too much with the like corporate structure of that place. It's really like, to me, it's nothing more than a way for me to communicate with people that are watching, and at like a distribution platform, you know, like it's a place for me to upload my shit and like connect with the people watching it. But there's dude, you're right, it's like a fucking television station. It is a network now. I mean,
it is,
there's
it,
huge
it's a,
branding
it's become,
deals and multi-million dollar partnerships, and it's fucking insane.
Yeah, and I also, well, what I don't like is I think that they've started to become overtly regulatory, and they can blame it on the robots, which that's my biggest problem, is they're like, oh, we run this through an algorithm, it's not us, and things get pulled because of the computer, and you're like, sure, you can blame it on that, but I feel it more now that they've started to demonetize, or they've started to shield or remove videos that they really don't look into. They just kind of either who you usually upload with, or who your associated acts are, so to speak. Like viewers also watch this, and they kind of keep a close eye on this stuff. I know I sound very conspiracy theory, but
I think you're absolutely right. I've heard it from a lot of big creators on the website, and people who have like direct contact with, you know, higher ups at YouTube and people in that's absolutely true. They just, you know, it's a lot like I got a rude awakening on Twitch because I tried to do one of my streams there a little while back, and my account got suspended like halfway through. So I took my clothes off, which is something I do pretty much every show. They're not down with nipples, but like their moderation team is so trigger happy that like they just, you know, it's like, and I think it's the same thing with YouTube. They just enforce their shit many times without thinking, and then they sort of, like you said, just blame it on the algorithm, which is just
it's bullshit. I don't like it, because I like YouTube. Like we upload the show on YouTube, and I like what they do.
Yeah,
as far as like creating this great playlist and this great network that you can use. But they've been so they removed a couple of videos of ours in the past.
Oh,
and
really?
For different reasons. Yeah, and it was like you know, it is what it is. But it just has started to feel more and more like the fucking deep state is watching, you know, like they're hawking over. It's like, I feel like I'm in that, you know, I'm in that, entering that era where YouTube is going to slowly become Disney.
Yeah,
you know what
right,
I mean? It's just
right.
going to be where you can't say anything at all unless they put you in a separate category and X-rated, you know, like you're going to become this NC-17 category of YouTube.
The no one watches, and no, it's like it's over there. Yeah.
Well, it's like when
it's
they tried to
though,
do
to talk about, I mean, it's true, like it is something really sinister, but we're talking at the end of the day about like vlogs and fucking exercise videos.
True.
You know?
Yeah, it's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. It's stupid.
It's you getting naked is what it really is.
It's not that important at the end of the day.
Well, so check this out. For people need to watch your videos now, and we'll put the links so you can watch a lot of the stuff that Mark does. But you get naked down to the undies, down to the skibbies.
I do.
To your skibbies.
I do, yeah.
And you do it at live shows.
Oh,
but
yeah.
you never show genitalia.
I don't ever pull the pee pee out. Yeah, I don't do the PP. I think that's just,
no,
that's taking it a step too far. You know, that's Paul Rubens in a movie theater. That's like, that's not, I don't want to be,
Hey, don't tarnish Pee Wee Herman, dude. First of all, it was in a porno theater, wasn't it?
No, you're
right.
Wasn't
it in a porno theater?
It was. It was in an adult theater.
How could that be a thing that someone's like, he jerked off in an adult movie theater? Who goes and just watches a movie? Who would sit in a porno theater and just watch a porno. Of course you're going to jerk
just
off.
Just get some popcorn.
He should have been more discreet.
Just to,
yeah, he should have been more yeah. discreet. Yeah, put his dick in the popcorn bucket and tug through there. No,
just
but it's
appreciating
just,
the filmmaking and watching it stoically for 90 minutes.
Could you imagine? Yeah. A film student at NYU goes to watch porno movies just to take in color correction and sound and editing of a porno.
I found it quite derivative, honestly, I have to say. Just a fucking douchebag about porn.
It was a little bit reminiscent of Ass and Titties 4, and I know this is that's the predecessor. I just think it could have been better. That's all I'm saying. Could have been tighter.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying. When you get naked during the live shows, let me ask you this. Are you a single man?
I am very much a single man.
Yeah.
I'm a single man.
Do you find that that amplifies the... Because you put out this sexual vibe. Like, look, I'm not a gay man, but I got to tell you, some of your videos, they get big red running, okay? It gets real sexy, real hot, real fast.
Neither am I.
You're in great shape. Yeah. You're in great shape, and you get naked. You have to up the... that ups the sexual meter when you go to their show. So afterwards, are you getting a lot of friendly people coming up to you to say hi? You know what I'm talking
about. There's a few friendly characters here and there coming to say hello. Yeah. But yeah, dude, I mean, it was really initially, it didn't start that way at all. I mean, like it started in my shit has always been very absurd and crude, but it was more in that camp. And then as I started like touring, I would find myself like wearing hotel bathrobes on stage, and then that sort of morphed into this like burlesque thing where it's just robes are like begging to be taken off. You know, it's like you pull one thing and then that's it. Like the whole thing just fucking falls off. So it sort of followed from that the robe needed to come off. People started coming to shows in the robes. And then really now it's sort of this thing where like halfway through the show or at some point in the show, the robe comes off. And I have, I guess, relaxed into it. I don't know why it's become so sexual, but it has. And
yeah.
I enjoy doing that. I enjoy making the show feel that way. And people tend to enjoy it too, I guess. I'm sure it makes some people uncomfortable, but what the fuck are you doing at my show? You know?
Exactly. They knew what they were getting into. People that show up to shows and they're like, oh, I had no idea. It's like, did you not check me out before buying a ticket?
Anything.
Like, how the fuck did you not know? All? Yeah. How did you not know? So that's so strange. It's like when somebody comes to a comedy show and they're like, oh, it was too much for me. It was just, he was vulgar or he was crass or I didn't like his angle of the way. It's like, what the fuck? Did you just show up to show up? Like, you don't know what you're getting into?
Anyway, I think people do sometimes, you know, like friends of friends, they do just show up and they end up get their, you know, their minds being blown for better or for worse, like just like what the fuck is this? Which is fine.
I think it's for better.
You know, that's okay.
Yeah, I think it's always for better because even if they don't like your shit, at least they get exposed to something unique. You know what I mean? Something different than what they're used to. You know,
because inherently that's true.
You're different. You are, you know, and I'm not stepping out of bounds and I'm not, you're so different than what most people are used to. You're very unique from what I know research wise. And I'm very ignorant to the music scene. I love music. I don't know how to compose it or make any of it, but you use this beautiful looping machine that you make your own beats and hooks and loops through the machine. And you use a keyboard and, probably just in a drum machine, right? And is that it, or do you use other stuff too?
Yeah, that's it. It's my laptop, which has all the sounds I use, and I can just sort of pick and choose from drum kits that I've put together, and synth sounds, and bass samples, and keyboard sounds, and all of that. And and then my looper, which is really my best friend. It's just this fucking amazing, pretty simple piece of equipment. And you know, there's drum pads to the left of the keyboard, and that's it. So I play the drums on the drum pads. I play everything else on the keys, and then I, you know, I sing stupid shit into the microphone and sort of layer that all up in the looper.
Are you a beauty school dropout? Did you go to music school and then drop out like so many musicians have done before? Did you do that?
I wish I went to acting school, actually, like my whole sort of career path, you know, in the beginning and middle of my, like my childhood and adolescence and everything was acting, but I had also been playing piano since I was five. So like piano was always a big part of my life. Acting was a bigger part of my life. And then when I dropped out of acting school, I think after my freshman year, I just dropped out and then started trying to learn how to make music. So that was like, I guess I was like maybe 17, bought, you know, music production shit, and then spent the next like 10 years fumbling around on that shit and like, you know, learning the ins and outs and taking more private lessons for the piano, getting more into like jazz theory and then combining that with production, but nothing ever hit. I, you know, was just working random jobs for like a decade plus and, you know, trying to do the music thing on the side.
Like all of us. Well, did you have that bug that you wanted to act? And is that still there? Or was that kind of a past tense thing? You're like, I don't want to do that shit anymore.
It went away when I dropped out because I just sort of like fell out of love with like theater culture, I guess. You know, everyone always trying to, it's this thing of everyone is in character all the fucking time. I don't know if you get that in like the stand-up world or
you do
thing where which can be fun. Like it's fun to hang around people who are like on and challenging each other and like, you know, riffing and all that. But when it's all the goddamn it's fucking exhausting, dude.
Oh,
it's just fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
Like people can't be themselves. You don't feel like you're ever talking to a real human being. I don't know. I just got fucking tired of it. So yeah, I dropped out of that.
Yeah, you moved away from it.
Now it's sort of come back. Yeah, like I would love to sort of nudge my way back into the entertainment world in some degree. I'm trying to work on that in some different capacities. But yeah, dude, it was just the culture of it. It was just like the vibe of it that really turned me off. You know, and musicians I tend to find are like much more comfortable just in their own skin generally, just fucking shooting the shit, you know?
Right. Are you collaborating with other musicians? Most of the stuff I see that you put out is all you on your own from your apartment, which is intimate and funny and sexy and very private, which I think is why it's so successful online. Cause it's like, we're getting a look into your real world. And also it's extremely unfiltered. It's not like, let me set up this shot to make sure that this, it's just like watching you. It's as if I watched you wake up, you jerked off, you ate a piece of toast, and then you started playing music and I got to watch it. That's what it feels like.
Dude, that is very often exactly what happens.
It feels like I just saw you go through your day. It's just like I see you wake up, I see you wipe off the cum, and I see you hit the fucking keys and just start wailing. That's what it feels
like.
That's
pretty
much
it, dude. The cum is in the garbage, and I'm just trying to make some stupid shit. It's like,
I think we got your second album is called The Cum Is in the Garbage. The first one is One Man Piece of Shit. And the second one is The Cum Is in the Garbage.
I mean, these will do very well. You know, the algorithm is going to love those.
Yeah, they're
going
to crush.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask this. You said crass or you know, you're, what you put out is what I think is fucking brilliant, is it's just raw and fun, and you don't really edit what you're gonna say. And when you get into a groove, like when you're in that, was it in Austin, Texas, when you were in that one bar?
Restaurant?
I've seen a few times. Restaurant.
Oh,
yeah,
man, I used to play there all the time in Dallas. That's where I originally... that's where I started playing. And I had like three residencies at three different restaurants and bars, and that was one of them. And they would let me film and live stream from there, and they would have me play to like their lunch crowd, which was...
So funny.
Amazing.
So funny.
Amazing.
It was amazing. Watching someone eat like a turkey sandwich and hear you in the background being like, sucking on your titties, sucking on your titties. It was just so, it's so great that it resonates. Cause you're very raw. So do you, in that regard, do you catch a lot of shit sometimes when you would go to places like that? Would people get mad and tell staff, they're like, I'm not comfortable with this. And I don't like what he's saying and all that. Yeah.
Yes. Good. Not as often as you might think, but yeah, good. Great. Yeah. Not that often, because like most people that went to these places were pretty cool. And then like after the first few months, you know, like people sort of caught on that I was playing at these places every week. So then it became, then like the audience started growing. But for those first few months, it was really this beautiful friction, this beautiful like conflict that I fed off of and really would love to capture again in some way, which is people seeing me who have no clue, who don't necessarily want to see me, who aren't there to see me. There's something really lovely there. And I'm trying to capture it somehow again. I'm thinking of a few ways to do that and working on a few ideas for that. But yeah, it was just that, dude, just like playing in the middle of the goddamn afternoon for like families. And it's just, you can't write that shit.
And I know what you mean by recreating those moments in life. Comedy is kind of the same way, except with yours, music has this ability that even when people are in a bad mood or they don't want something or they're like, what the fuck is going on? If it's good and you're quite fucking good, it can just change their mood. Like it can shift them from going, I didn't really expect this or want this, but this is kind of making my day. Yeah. Versus when we start and we have to do stand up and we're doing it at a bar at 6:30, these people don't want to see you. They don't want to hear you tell fucking jokes. You're usually new, so you're bad. And like what happens to that transference of being annoyed to being happy to hear music? It never happens in comedy. It's always like,
really?
Why is this fucking asshole? Oh, never, dude, never.
Wow.
They hate it. Because music does. I am a massive, massive music fan. It's like it's in every part of my life. It's the moment I wake up, it's playing in my house till when we go to bed.
Yeah.
And it's always been such a integral part of my life. I'm obsessed with finding new shit, and there's so many moments in my life that are defined by I stumbled into this place and I saw this band or I heard this thing, and
yeah, man,
it made some of my most memorable moments. So what you're trying to capture, I understand, is those kind of accidental, free, risky, weird, uncomfortable moments that kind of can grow into something beautiful. Versus when you play a theater of sold out to fans, they're there to see you. It's kind of like they know what's coming, so to speak.
Right.
And it's beautiful, but you don't get that as much improv as you do when you're on stage. You just don't get that moment of holy shit, this is out of nowhere type of stuff, because the danger level gets lower as you get more popular.
It totally, you know? Totally. It's very different. I mean, it's two totally different things. Yeah, I think, like, I do love the feeling of playing to a fucking packed venue, you know, but like you say, it's completely distinct. It's like, it's just a totally different thing. Everyone is there because they know that they're there to see you. They're there to support you. They're excited and all. And that energy
is awesome.
Completely different from, like, what the fuck are you doing here? You know, like that's, it's a totally, and it affects the performance. It changes the nature of the performance. It changes the ideas that you think of, because when you're trying to convince someone to like you, it's different than playing to a crowd you already know is, you know, enthusiastic. So yeah, dude, I don't know. From a performance standpoint, you're absolutely right. It's like wildly different, but I do love them both very much, but I miss the other shit. I definitely miss the other
shit. Totally. Yeah. That's the bane of an artist, is you always want to grow. You want an audience to come along with you on this ride.
Yeah.
You want to get a fan base that supports you, that you can kind of feel this. That's what we dream of.
Right.
And sometimes you look back and you're like, but I also like it when, you know, when somebody was offended by me and walked out. Like,
you're making me think about, because like, but the thing is, it's, we appreciate that so much in retrospect, like more than we did when it was happening. But I think part of that
is
because now there's like a certain comfort level in knowing that, okay, there is an established fan base of some sort. There are people that are willing to support me. I can make a living doing this. And so when you look back, it's like, oh man, that was really fucking special. But
yeah,
I wish I could go back to that knowing what I know now. You know, because that would make me appreciate it so much more. Back then, I'm fucking nervous. I'm scared as shit. I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep doing this. It sucks. Right. And you're like just trying to get out of it.
But yeah, dude,
fucking, you know, hindsight, 2020, all that shit.
Exactly. Well, do you ever have stories from those old days when you were doing shows? Would you ever take off your clothes or get naked or close to naked? Did someone else reciprocate? Did you ever have a guy or a girl in the crowd get naked with you?
That's happened more recently. Back when I was doing the restaurant and bar shows, I wasn't getting naked yet. That wasn't like a part of the show.
Okay.
But I would do, you know, there was still, everything has always been improvised from the beginning to the end. And so I would count a lot on like the people in the room to give me material. And like someone came up to me at one of the restaurants and asked me to do something hard. He was like, I want you to do something hardcore. So I went into this, like, sometimes I'll do these two character pieces where, like, you know, like I'll pitch my voice up for one character and pitch it down for the other and have a conversation.
Yeah.
And it was like two parents and they're like, kid drowned and then they sacrifice the child to Satan and all this shit. And you can see, because I filmed this show, but this family is like, is like watching this happen and just really not about it, and gets up and leaves in the middle of this thing, and they're just like shaking their head. But clothes coming off happens. It definitely happens now. When I played the show in Bordeaux, like on this fucking boat, the bottom of this boat, and it was a cool venue, but like, towards the end of the show, this chick just came up and got completely naked and just fucking dead. The security's trying to grab her, but it's like
no, leave her. She's fine. Let her be.
Let her be her own person. Yeah, but it's fun, dude. People are like, I'm down with that. Do I invite people? Like, at the end of a lot of these shows, I'll sort of, depending on whether or not security is cool with it, I'll invite people to get up on stage. So we'll have like, you know, there's however many people the stage can hold, really. We've had like 100 to 150 people up on stage with me, just like buckling the stage and getting the fuck down. And I just, man, I love that shit. I miss that shit.
That's the best, man. Well, dude, me too. I know. We miss touring. I miss performing so much. We're going to get back there because people do want to get back on the stage and get naked and rub their sweaty bodies
shit. How are you taking that? I mean, how are you like taking not being the road?
I think, you know, a lot of comics have probably, we've all talked about it ad nauseum of like, we're all tired. We all want to go. But, you know, to be honest, my perspective has shifted the past week. Of like, maybe this is a good thing and it's going to help me recalibrate. And I was mad that my tour got canceled and we had to reschedule, but you know, maybe I just need to take it in stride as, look, I'm healthy. We're making it through this thing. And then hopefully on the other side, I'll come out stronger because I'm working on writing a bunch of shit in the meantime.
Yeah.
It's going to be hard because I don't have time to test it out. You know, that's what's fucked up. It's like, you know, usually we get to go to what we call the gym or the comedy club at night and work out and work out and work out. And then when we go and put it out there, it's more polished. But I think that's going to be, to me, that's going to be that thing that we talked about, was going back to the days when the material was much more uncertain and the crowds, you know, were also uncertain because back then they didn't know you. But now that they know you, but I'm trying out more new shit because of this gap time.
Yeah.
It's going to be sexy again. It's going to be a little bit, the water's going to be way more rough.
For
it's not going to be
sure.
As smooth.
Dude, you know, that's interesting that you say that though, because like I didn't think about that, but you're absolutely right that like a crucial part of stand-up is like, I've never heard that before, going to the gym. I love that. But that's a crucial part of it, is like testing shit out and getting your set like down and polished and sharpened, and you just like, you cannot do that right now.
It's fine to be bridled. Like, it just, I think like anything, like any kind of performance art or whatever, some of the best stuff is going to grow out of some of the biggest restrictions. That tends to be the history of our business anyway.
That's
like
true.
when you couldn't do shit, great shit came about from it anyway. So my hope is people are going to come out stronger. Shitty people who aren't good are going to get washed away because they're not working. So, you know, there's something good about, you know, this is really a testament to, you know, fucking strong will survive in terms of who's really working on their shit. And
yes,
when it comes time and comes back, let's see what you deliver, you know?
Dude, I agree 100%. Like, that's the mindset that I've been trying to adopt too, is like, this is an opportunity to become like wildly more creative than we were, because now we are forced to, like, there's no option but to try and find ways to keep the business viable and successful and continue to find ways to like reach your audience and do things that are, but we're so constricted, we don't have access to like half or over half of our business or whatever the fuck it is. So right. I don't know, man. I've been busting my fucking ass, like,
yeah,
probably more than I was before. And
but that's I think that's such a good thing. That I think that's gonna make some great shit on the other side. Like, have you gotten to a point, because now you're quite, you know, look, you're very successful in terms of your growth online is incredible. Like, you have like, you know what, 700,000 followers on YouTube that watch your videos. It's like, and you have millions and millions of people that watch your shit. Have you gotten to this point now where it's, well, it's deserved, dude. It's great. Have you gotten to this point where corporate people have asked you to do like corporate parties and shit like that? Have you done those?
Yeah, I've got, I mean, I'm looking at a bunch of, you know, there's like a whole bunch of things that me and my team are looking at, but it's like a bunch of brand partnerships and corporate opportunities, but there's a lot of them that are just not, that I would never do in a million fucking years, because it's like they want to cripple you, you know, from doing what it is you usually do. And like,
of course,
even if the money is there, it's not, you know, I have no interest in doing some like PG shit for a brand that like wants me not to say shit. And like, that's just not, it's not what I do. It's not what I've ever done. Why would I do that now? So it's, I am getting those kinds of offers, but it's, I'm also getting offers where people just want, you know, they just want me to do my thing. Cool brands that are down, that understand that like the way to partner with someone is to just like, you just attach yourself to what they're already doing. And like, that's, then you're cool. Then you're a cool brand, or you're a cool, you know? So, I'm working on shit like that, but it's weird navigating that landscape, because I've never done stuff like that before. I've never done any sort of like corporate partnering shit.
Have you ever played a corporate live show? Like, you've ever done a show for just for a corporate?
No. Okay, I hear they're amazing though.
Yeah. They're incredible. Yeah. They'll make you feel really good about yourself. It's fucking the whole time that you're up there performing for some evil company like Monsanto, you're just circling your head like, am I the worst person on fucking
earth? Did you do
like,
a little Monsanto like, set?
No. Yeah, it started, my first joke was fuck the earth. I was like, fuck the earth, and everybody lost it. And
everyone cheered. No.
In here, we pour whiskey.
Did you know that 2 out of 3 men are going to experience some balding by the time they're 35? My hair's been thinning since I was a ute. It's hard for me. I come from that long line of Irish, Italian, thin-haired, big downstairs blood. You know, it's a bloodline. It's a thing. Keeps are the people that are trying to help you figure that out. Keeps is incredible. It's a great product you can get from the comfort of your own home. They offer these generic versions that are FDA approved, that are less expensive than all that stuff that you're going to get in the store. You get online. You talk to a doctor on the internet. You don't have to go in and get in a waiting room and do all that stuff that people hate to do. And it's important that you take care of it now while you're still young, okay? Getting this stuff is important to do before you lose all your hair, because if you're completely bald, it ain't going to work. It's not going to help. But Keeps is great stuff. FDA-approved, licensed physicians who talk to you about what you need to fix your situation, because most men are going to lose the hair on your head. Look, God didn't make us that way. He put hair on our butt and on our legs and on your nuts, but the hair on your head is not guaranteed to stay there. Keeps is incredible. It's been helping me keep the hair on my head, and I'm proud of it. And it's one of those things that as we get older, we just want to keep a little bit of youth flowing through our veins. But Keeps is the company that can deliver stuff right to your door. You don't have to go anywhere to get it, especially during the pandy. It's much easier to just sit at home and collect the prescriptions that you need that are safe and approved and legit to get it done at significantly cheaper than what you're going to pay when you go into some high-end doctor's office and you're paying all sorts of fees, and then you got to get a parking ticket. And do you validate? We don't validate. Oh my God. We'll just go home and get on the internet and go to Keeps. It's the easiest way to do it. Our listeners are getting themselves an incredible deal. If you're ready to try to prevent some hair loss, go to keeps.com/whiskey. That's Keeps, KEEPS.com/whiskey. And you're going to get your first month of treatment completely for free. It's a great deal, man. That's usually pretty expensive. When you go to a traditional way through the doctor, you're talking a couple $100 out of your pocket just to go and get it and then get the medication. It all adds up over time and it gets expensive. This is the best way to do it. So keep your hair. Go to keeps.com, KEEPS.com/whiskey. Get your first month of treatment for free. Hey, whiskey fans. If you like to get your lips on some new and interesting sauce, you know, I'm a big fan of putting my mouth to the glass and drinking up some of that beautiful caramel jazz. The product I want to talk about is Screwball Whiskey. Screwball Whiskey, we've talked about before on here. Delicious, man. Gold medal winning, award winning whiskey. Delicious. Invented at the Obie Noodle House in San Diego by a gentleman who fought through polio. So what have you done with your life? They made some incredible whiskey. It's in a classic of its own. Screwball Whiskey is stuff that you can take a shot as it is. You can mix it and stuff. I told you I like to put it in ice cream late at night when I'm sitting fatting around on the couch and the old bag is in bed wondering what I'm doing. I'm watching HGTV and I'm drinking Screwball Whiskey on top of vanilla bean ice cream, okay? I'm a guy. But Screwball Whiskey is delicious. It's an incredible peanut butter whiskey that's sweet, warm down the gullet. And it's incredible to drink, like I said, on its own or putting it with other stuff. Screwball is a company I support and I love. These guys are great. If you feel like you're the black sheep, these dudes got you covered. They're a little bit unorthodox. It's different. What they do is different. What they make is different. It's very unique and it tastes delicious. You like peanut butter like me and my dog Cubby do. Put it with some whiskey. You got a killer combination. They're a great company. They're donating hand sanitizer to the front lines, including hospitals, police, firefighters, first responders, because all these companies that are making alcohol have a lot of alcohol to give. And anything over 70% is used as sanitizer, so they're donating to a very good cause during a very tough time. They are the original Screwball, most awarded peanut butter whiskey, and it's available everywhere. So go get it, go to the liquor store, or order it online, whatever you need to do if you want to keep your social distance. It's 70 proof Screwball peanut butter whiskey. It's the perfect shot, or it's the perfect addition to any of your favorite cocktail. Pick it up at your local store, get it delivered to your house, dude. Get it delivered to your front door. Ready to hashtag get screwed. Put that on the Twitters. Go to screwballwhiskey.com if you want more info about it. Enjoy it responsibly. Advertisement by Screwball Spirits, LLC, San Marcos, California. This is whiskey with natural flavors and caramel and color. 35% alcohol by volume, my friend. Drink it responsibly. Don't be a fool. Stay safe, okay? Back to the episode.
I like gingers.
No, I've done a bunch of... comedians have to do corporate gigs at some point in your career because they do pay remarkably well and it's just a thing to do. Uh-huh. I have shied away from doing them in this latter part of my career because of that very thing. I don't, you know, whenever they say like, can you do it clean? And my agent's like, he does what he does.
Right.
And you either get that or you get nothing. It's just, there is no compromise. But when you're young and you need the money, yeah, man, I would do holiday parties, you know, and some rich schmuck would be like, I'll give you a bunch of money to come like roast me and my buddies and you know, to do stand up. And you would inevitably do stand up and roast some of their friends and it would probably go okay, yeah. You know, and you'd kind of feel dirty, but you walk out with a check and you just go home and you're like, whatever.
Right. What,
you
know, yeah, dude, moving on. That's totally. Yeah. I used to do a lot of sort of one-off gigs like that as well that were for like birthday parties or whatever, you know, just show up and play and yeah, dude, it's like, it's a fucking job. It's a job.
It's a job.
And now, I mean, we're very, very lucky to be in this position where we can like edit our career a little more and, you know, like pick and choose. And that's
right.
That's amazing. I never expected to be in that position ever. But yeah, dude, totally. Anything and everything back in the day, like anything, I'll fucking do it.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
There's no shame. There's no shame when you're in picking up a check. And I never wag a finger at anybody who's just trying to pick up a check.
Me neither.
A lot of people don't understand. A lot of people don't get it that like it's an extremely hard job and it's a job at the end of the day. And a lot of times you just need to fucking make rent or make bills or keep things moving. And It just helps, dude. I think people don't realize that when they work in a regular world, it's like you're guaranteed a check. You know, we're never guaranteed checks. So when you go do one of these corporate things, even though it's fucking painful, you know, like I did one, dude, I did a Christmas one like 5 or 6 years ago.
Christmas.
And, oh dude, it was so bad. It was a Christmas, it was their Christmas dinner and it was about 35, 40 employees. And I'm ripping. I'm having a great set. Yeah. I'm talking shit. I'm making fun of the guy that booked me, who inevitably, there's always one guy that works at the company that's a massive comedy fan. And he goes to the comedy store and you know what I mean? Like he wants to be the introduction to the company of stand-up. He's like, you guys are going to love this. And that this is always how it goes. So he brings me in and I start shitting on him and they're loving it, you know, because like everyone, this guy is obviously already annoying to them. Right. So I'm shitting on him. And, you know, then he's like, talk shit about Dan. You know, I talk shit about some guy named Dan. And it's fucking just by appearance
just
alone,
taking
you just
requests.
Start ripping these people.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then some guy, some obviously executive, older dude, really like a handsome looking, super tan skin with a young bimbo. And he's like, why don't you say something about me? You know? And I'm like, nah, you know, you probably own this fucking thing. And everyone's like, oh, he does. You know? And the guy's like, no, come on. So of course I start laying into this guy because he wants it. And I've already got the check in my pocket.
Yeah.
So I'm just eating this guy alive about how sad it is that this woman is going to get, you know, his entire life force of work of money in about 2 to 3 months when he inevitably dies. And, you know, just diving into this, the, you know, what is so obvious. And his face was just like, fuck you.
Oh,
I mean, dude, he was
shit.
So mad. But I kept going. I didn't stop. I was like, hey, dude, I'm already... You don't quit the marathon. You know what I mean? Like,
you're
don't
on a
give
fucking
up, bitch.
Roll,
already,
dude.
Yeah, well, I already ran 24 of the miles. I'm going to finish. So right. I just kept shitting on this guy and shitting on him. And when I was done, which is I just walked off because people were like, oh, and it was uncomfortable. The guy who booked me came up to me and he's like, hey, man, I don't think you should have done that to the boss. And I was like, yeah, man, I just, you know, like you guys, that's what you asked for this thing. It's going to be this thing.
Right.
And he was like, yeah, I don't know if that was a good idea. I'm like, well, I don't have to stay here and you do. So later, I just never saw the guy again. Just took his check. I fucked off into the night.
Dude,
just,
there
you know,
is,
that's what they get.
Totally. There is a weird thing though, that I haven't thought about for a while because I haven't done a gig like that in a while. It's like this energy that you, like for a small period of time, you're part of the party. But as
yes.
soon as you like on either side of your set, you're a fucking stranger. Like you might
totally.
As well be a fucking waiter. Like it's you're a worker that's there to work. And then
right.
you get on stage or wherever they put you in the fucking corner somewhere. And you're the focal point. And then when it's over, it's just, you're anybody, you know,
it's over.
It's weird.
Yeah, you're just
weird.
Another guy in the room.
Yeah.
It is. So when you start to, when you grow exponentially, I hope you get to do the most uncomfortable version, which I've never been privy to, but I have comic friends that get paid obscene amounts of money to go to like a very private party of like 10 very famous people, like very high-end celebrities.
Oh, really?
And they get to go, yes, dude. And that, I don't ever want to do it, but I hope you get to do it because, again, music can always kind of be this great barrier of discomfort where you can just keep playing.
Dude,
it's almost
I
like,
would love to do that. Know. That would be yeah. so. So wait,
who would be your ultimate? Who would be your ultimate dream to like to?
Oh God,
to play like a really private weird party to? Who do you think would be there?
Oh man, that is a fucking tough question. I would like a spread of really unusual celebrities. You know that?
Yes.
Like.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Like Joe Montaigne, like very random.
All the Joes. Joe Pantoliano.
Joe Pantoliano. Yeah, it's all the Joes. All the Italian Joes.
It's just
That's
a Joe
do,
party,
yeah.
yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pesci, Montaigne. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
Joe
dude.
Montana is there.
Yeah. Wait, so what that is what fun. Are those have you heard about what are those part I mean what is that shit like?
Well, you know, usually what it is if a comic friend of mine, and it's not my liberty to say, but usually it's a comic friend who's extremely well established, and they get invited to like a private party, dinner party thing or whatever, yeah. very Illuminati shit
yeah.
of extremely high end, usually Hollywood celebrity, you know, actors, actresses, whatever.
Right.
And they want them to kind of casually perform at dinner. Like not like they want, it's almost like they pay them to be there. They don't have to get on stage with a microphone,
oh.
but they pay for their like comedic presence, so to speak.
Holy
it's very
shit.
Rare. Yeah, but it happens. It's a thing that it's a real kind of creepy.
Dude, that's extremely creepy.
Yes, yes. But I imagine the amount of money is astronomical to just be yeah. around that thing, you know? I would imagine that I would I know I would fuck that. I would fuck that up because I would just I would say the most fucked up shit on purpose, trying to just get a rise out of somebody. They'd get mad. They'd throw me out. And they could smell that I'm not a part of their group. You know, it's almost like, I say this all the time, whenever I go to something really fancy, even though like I could afford to be there,
yeah.
I always feel dirty. I always feel uncomfortable. Mm. Like they know I don't belong there, you know, like they can smell it on me.
That's so like fucking weird to me though, that they would pay. It's not to play a set. It's like to be you.
Yes.
In performance yeah. mode in this group of really high-end people.
Well, it's because most of the time, celebrities in Hollywood, when they ascend to this level of like super fame, they become so out of touch with normalcy because they don't get to go to concerts. They can't go to normal things anymore because they get so big.
Right.
It's almost like they're out of touch is an understatement. They're in a vacuum.
Fuck me till it hurts. 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 I'm a pretty little princess. Fuck me. I'm a princess. Fuck me. I'm a princess. Fuck me. I'm a pretty little princess. Fuck me till it hurts, bitch! Fuck me till it hurts.
Mark sneezed so hard that whatever I was saying was so boring. It sneezed. it was like sneezed out the fucking bullshit. Yeah. Anyway, moving away from the Illuminati lizard yeah, people celebrities yeah. and all that bullshit. Fucking getting away from how creepy that world is.
It's so creepy.
So let me ask you this: living in New York.
Yeah.
I don't want to mention any of the nonsense that's going on right now, because I think, again, another thing we've talked to ad nauseum.
Yeah,
but,
agreed.
When you moved to New York, did you start doing music from your apartment and putting it up online as a necessity, or as something that you knew you wanted to do? Was it kind of like, you know, was that a plan that you were like, I want to make music in the house and put it out? Or was it like, where else? You're not going to go to a studio and all that stuff.
Yeah.
This was just...
I mean, it was very much like I had already been putting out videos like that in my apartment alone for, I guess a year or two before that. But my audience still at the time was very, very small. I mean, I had established again, very small local following in Dallas. But then I decided to like move to New York to try and bring it to a bigger market, to like see if I could right. actually book a show here and all that kind of shit. I had no connections. I had no idea of how that was going to work. I didn't know what kind of venue would hire me. I imagined I would just try and strong arm bars into hiring me again. And that's what I did for a couple months, was just like, just walk around and bother people, like bother bartenders for like owners' numbers and emails and shit. And, you know, booked a good handful of gigs in bars. And then at the same time I was doing that, I was recording videos in my apartment, as I had already been doing, and putting that out on like all of my different channels and shit. And just nothing was really, I mean, I was getting paid, you know, like $150 a gig to play, you know, just to play a bar from like 7 to 9 PM, same shit. But definitely less reliable up here, because there was no residency going on. I didn't have the base that I had in Dallas. So it was, I was getting really close to like calling it and just saying like, fuck it. Because I couldn't really see an end point. And then a couple months in, people started sharing around the videos that I had already put up, on Facebook and I guess on YouTube as well. And like, but something happened there, like in, I guess it's like August or September, something of 2018, that it took me from like, you know, like 5,000 followers to like 100, 200, 300,000. And like,
wow,
it was that shift that then got me booking requests from people in other states and then other countries. And I had no fucking clue what to do with that. So then a booking agent approached me and I signed with a booking agency and then but if that hadn't happened, I probably would have just, I don't know, dude. I probably would have quit. I probably would have quit.
Yeah. You know? That's so funny how like when you're kind of back against the wall, like the thing that the catalyst was just, it was just your library of work. At some point it caught up to you, which is that's kind of amazing, you know? Like it did what it was supposed to do.
Yes, exactly.
It did what it was supposed to do.
It did. Eventually it got there. That's the thing is like, that's something that I say to, like, you know, there's a bunch of people who are trying to like create stuff online and they ask me about this kind of stuff. And what I always say is just like, you just make the shit, just make the shit and never stop making the shit. If it's good, it'll get circulated somehow. I don't know how that works.
Somehow.
I have no fucking idea how that works, but yeah, I think it's because there was already a large library of shit. So when people started sharing stuff, there was like a little rabbit hole to go down, you know, where people could find out that, you know, like that there was this catalog, this like back catalog that kept people interested. You know, if you only have like a few videos up, I don't know if that would have happened.
Right. Well, I mean, I think that's kind of the beauty is also, now that people find you, as you continue on, you have so much shit that they can go back and go, oh shit, and look at this. Oh, and look at this, and look at this, and look at this. You know what I mean? That's kind of the beauty of putting more stuff out. It's also hard because you want to make sure whatever you're putting out, I imagine, you seem to be very particular. You want to make sure it's extremely representative of your abilities too. You know, like,
for sure,
just putting it out to put it out, that's a hard balance. And when people are like, oh, just when people are like, put up your stand up or just put up more music, and you're like, I want to make sure it's shit that I want to put out at the same time.
Absolutely.
You know, you want content, but you want it to be quality. You want some kind of balance.
Oh yeah, for sure. Yeah. But it's like at the beginning, you know, I have friends who are trying to do this, who are like trying to get to you know, be in entertainment and do this thing. And it's like at the beginning, it's like no one gives a shit. No one is watching you. So it's the exercise of actually doing it that is more important even than the quality of it, I think. You know, like if you don't get yourself used to and in the habit of like producing shit and publishing it, then no one will ever see you. I just find that a lot of people who have not done that, they're very much hung up on like, well, this isn't quite good enough, or I don't know if like this is the direction I want to go in. It's like, dude, no one gives a fuck about your direction. No one cares because no one just knows you. So like, just do the shit. Just work the muscle.
Yeah, just make the bullshit.
Work the muscle. You know,
like we said, go to the gym. That's what it is. Like, you just got to keep going to the gym over and over and over until, you know, until you're finally strong enough that when they come see you, they're like, wow. And everyone's like, it looks like it's just so easy. You know, it's like, yeah, what you do looks so fun and simple that I'm sure, you know, there's a million idiots that want to buy a looping machine because of you. And that's a good thing to just, you know, it's nice to expand
that
your fucking, you know, to expand your talent and see if people, that's something they're interested in. But it's funny to think that a lot of times people just go, it looks so easy, but it's because there's so much work that's put into it to make it look easy is the word that they use, but it really just looks smooth and like almost flawless and without any kind of, you know, without any bumps. So it's all the work that you put in all this time that you've been doing it. Have your parents been gung-ho about it? Have they been supportive and been like, this is great, or did mom hear it and was like, eh, I don't know about the titties and the wet pussy stuff, Mark?
Yeah, mom was definitely not a fan of the wet pussy stuff, and I think still is not. But,
no?
You know, like, she warmed up to it. She would, no, mm-hmm. She's like a gentle, sweet, wonderful woman that is like, you know, very much not about that kind of humor, right. Which is fine. It's just not her thing. But like it took a while to win her over, you know, just by continuing to do it and then like getting paid for it. And then all that shit, you know, has helped her understand right. that at least there was something there. And you know, now I've made a lot of stuff that's family friendly and whatever is like positive and shit. And she enjoys that stuff. But my dad, you know, if you knew my dad, you would understand why I am this way. But he passed away a couple of years ago. But he like extremely French, Parisian dude, filthy, vulgar, a flirt, a huge character, big energy. And like he right. told me really until like he started going downhill, kept pushing me. I mean, he built like his whole life from nothing and all that shit. And so he was like, you need to be the one on stage. You need to get out there. You need to be performing. You need to be the one singing with the microphone and all that. And like, you know, back when we were having those conversations, I didn't want to do, I just wanted to maybe like smoke bowls and like make beats and hang out with my friends and stuff. And he was like, you know, at the end of the day, he was absolutely right. But yeah, he would have fucking loved this shit. And I'm sad he doesn't get to see it. But yeah, my mom and I are like super close now, and she is super supportive, and she just doesn't watch the wet pussy shit, you know.
Just don't watch that shit, Mom. Well, your dad in the entertainment industry at all? Was he involved in entertainment by any means, or no?
No, he was in fashion. He was in fashion. And
oh, nice.
Yeah, he was very much like that kind of character. I mean, you know, he might as well have been in that industry. He was just like this. He was an extraordinary human being, you know. He was just this kind of person that commanded the energy of a room and was extraordinarily charming while also making people uncomfortable and striking that perfect balance and French as fuck. So he sort of got away with it, you know. It was like this old school French charm that allowed him that breathing right. room. And,
yeah, those French, dude, they can get away with that. Like, he could say to a woman, he could be like, oh, your titties look nice. Yeah. And she's like, oh, my God.
Oh,
but they're not offended somehow.
Oh, yeah, dude, they love it. They fucking love it.
Yeah, they love it.
So
well,
much.
Did he move from Paris to Texas?
Yeah.
No,
it wasn't to Texas. I mean, my mom met him when she was, like, on a trip with her girls in Paris, and then they met.
Oh, wow.
Came back to America to, like, South Carolina to get married, and then they had, like, a boutique in Atlanta, and then we lived in New Jersey, and he worked in New York and Dallas and back and forth, and so yeah, we were all over the place. But yeah, I mean, you know, he was just extremely determined to a fault, obsessive to a fault, stubborn to a fault, but all of those like values, that sort of like never, and I wasn't this kind of kid, but he would just hammer it into my, like, never stop. Bang down the doors until you get something. Yeah. Keep going and all this shit. And it's all this stuff that, like, now I've found that I have grown into and basically, like, turned into him. It's fucking weird, you know?
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's nice, dude.
That's
nice.
That's fucking incredible. Did he have a mustache like you? Was he a mustache?
He tried a mustache, but it didn't really work on him. He didn't. But he looked, oh, my God. I don't know if you want to, like, superimpose this, but I'll send you a picture of him. We look identical. Yeah, man, he's missed, but I'm just trying to do him justice out here, you know?
I'm sure, look, I don't know what people believe in, and I know not to be cliche, but it's almost like I gotta know that he feels it somehow, even though he's gone. There's no way he's not like, fuck yeah, that's my boy. Yeah. Like, you just got to know that he's stoked to see you do this stuff, even though he's not here. There's just, I don't believe in eternal nothingness. I'm not one of those guys. Mm. I don't know what exists, dude. I don't know what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, me neither. That's sort of where I'm at. Yeah. I don't really know.
But I have a hard time thinking that it goes to nothing. I have a hard time. I just think that's a little too nihilistic. I just don't ever believe that everything means nothing. I think that's very silly. I think nihilism is such a, to me, it's such like a moot fucking thing because you can't, it's just as valid as it is invalid, right? Like when somebody says, I can't believe people believe in God or whatever. It's like, well, it's just the same as you not believing in anything at all.
It's
just on two different ends of a spectrum, right? I used to tell this joke a long time ago that I never understood fully believing in something or fully not. It's almost like if I asked three guy friends how gay they are on a scale from 0 to 100.
Yeah.
And if the first one says 100, and he goes, I am gay. I am nothing but gay. I'll never be anything but gay.
Yeah.
I would go, okay, that seems it seems almost so perfectly associated that it's almost closed-minded. Like you just, that's it.
Ah.
And then another guy says, I'm 0% gay. I'm like, what? He's like, yeah, no, not even an inch in a bone. But if a third guy says, I'm like 58% gay, I'd go, yeah, I have those moments. I've been to a gym. Like, I know exactly right. what he's talking about.
Right.
Yeah. So that's how I feel about a lot of stuff, that like, I'm always somewhere, I like to touch both bases. I can't believe in anything fully or not believe in anything at all across the board. I feel like this has given me perspective. This pandemic has given me that, even more so, that perspective of, you can't just be one or the other. Mm. There are so many variables to all of this shit that it's hard for me to believe that you could be all in on anything. It's
yeah,
like,
dude.
How,
I,
you know?
No, I agree. I think it's like, it's very much a matter of perspective. Like I always go back to that because no matter how much individual people believe certain things, how much they believe it, how little they believe it, whether they throw it away or they hate it or they love it. It's all like, you always have to remember, or at least I do, I always try and remember that everyone is just processing this world and this life in a way that makes sense to them. Like,
right.
Everyone is just doing things with their brain that try to bring them happiness or reassurance or comfort or satisfaction. And however that manifests itself is not really for you to like dismantle or throw down or disprove. It's like, it's not about that. It's just about each person trying to find some sort of fucking comfort and happiness in this world. So whether that's, I don't believe in any of it, if that brings you comfort, fantastic. Believe in that shit.
Right.
If you want to believe in the Holy Trinity and God and the Father and the Holy Ghost, great, dude. Great. Yeah. I don't know why. We take a lot of that shit. We tend to take a lot of that shit very personally when it's like the furthest thing from that. It's
right.
It's about the person. It's just like about that
right.
person. You know?
Yeah, everyone should walk around with a shirt that says, this has nothing to do with you.
Yeah.
I think that would justify all of it.
That's a great piece
this
of merch.
This has nothing to do with you. I mean, and that extends to all levels of everything. And I'm not just talking about religion. Religion is just like a little piece of what I was talking about before. I mean, any sort of beliefs that you have or your perspective of life itself.
Right.
It's just... it has nothing to do with anybody else. It's all on
it
your bullshit, so figure it the fuck
do
out.
With
yeah.
you. And I,
yeah, it's
I
nothing
do,
to do with
you. Know,
you.
That being said, I like picking things apart and talking about it, especially to people who don't feel the same way about things as I do. I
totally.
Love that discourse and that friction and shit, but you have to, it's all, you got to keep that in mind because I feel like a lot of the shit that goes on in the world is a result of people not being able to understand that. You know, like
totally.
A lot of the bad shit that happens in this world is a result of just a refusal to understand that people might have different points of view.
Totally. Well, dude, it's you begin to learn. I mean, if there's anything, again, I don't love talking about it, but if there's anything the pandemic has definitely taught me, I still read the Chicago Tribune every day because I miss Chicago and I just want to like know what's going on back home all the time. I've never stopped. And every day, even during the pandemic, you'll read some bullshit that you're like, people are still doing fucked up shit even during this time of like international crisis. Like it just, it reassures me that like people don't give a fuck. People just don't care. People don't care. They're going to do whatever they're going to fucking do. They don't give a shit. Like there's still, there was a story the other day about a massive money laundering scheme in some of the local outlets of government in Chicago, which is, that's nothing new, but it was like, they're finding that these people are still learning new ways to like, because I don't know if you've heard about this. The New York Times did an article about it as well. There's so much dirty money in New York right now that can't be pushed and laundered internationally. So they're trying to find a way to circulate it through the economy in New York through underground circuits because they can't. It's just so great. It's
amazing.
Like people,
that's beautiful.
The world is on fire. People are dying, but criminals are like, hey, we don't stop. We don't stop. Right. You understand me? We're still going to keep going. They have the best work ethic of all. Criminals will work through fucking anything. It's incredible.
Dude.
It just reminds me that people are going to do whatever the fuck they're going to do. If people do whatever they want to do, it doesn't matter. Like nobody, it's hard to, that's why I think it is what it is when I think about when other people, whatever you want to believe or do, it's like, dude, people are going to do it whether or not you fucking like it or care. So get over it.
That's right.
Like, get the fuck over it.
What? Yes. It's fine. Yeah. It's just
fine. Yeah, you're fine.
We are grains of sand on this fucking rock. Nothing we ever do here will ever have an impact beyond the next 100,000 years. And this whole universe will continue to spin and operate with or without us. Just live your goddamn life and do things that bring you joy. Just do
fucking
that.
That is a fact. Just do it, enjoy it, have fun. And I hope in 100,000 years when the planet is decimated and they're searching down here for any remnants, they somehow find a clip of you singing at that bar in Houston and the family walking out. I just want that to exist for whatever species is 100,000 years ago.
That's going to be the
family
golden
getting
master
up
that's
and
sent
leaving.
Out to space.
That's right. Yes, that's right. That is right. By the way, that is an incredible story.
I hope you're wrong.
No, I hope I'm right. That's a good story for people that don't know. They sent in the 70s, they sent a golden album to space, right? Isn't that what it was? And it had music on it. It had sounds. It had all sorts of stuff. And I would love to think I would love to think somehow, some way, something would find it. But we know damn well it's fucking shattered somewhere in space. It doesn't exist anymore.
I'm sure it
I
is.
I wish something
it
would find it.
Ran into an asteroid and it's fucking gone. But I think it's like the principle of the thing that's so beautiful.
Oh, it's
like
awesome.
Sending out just in case to the long, dark, infinite beyond, you know, this series of signals that represent who and what we are. And like just in I just love that, dude. I love that human effort. It's a beautiful thing.
It is very cool. It is a cool idea. It's message in a bottle. You know, like when you're a kid, in your mind, you put a message bottle. You throw the bottle as far as you can, and in an hour and a half, it's washed up on the beach 50 yards down. But in your mind, who cares?
Yeah.
It got way out there. It ended up miles and miles and miles away.
Yeah.
And someone on a boat found it. Yeah. You hope, but you know, I think it's the idea of putting shit out and just trying, which is kind of. That's all we're doing anyway, dude.
That's
we're just
all we
shit
can
out there
do,
trying.
Dude. Yeah, there's no guidebook. Yeah. There's no fucking corporate style guide. It's like, let me try this, and hopefully people like it, or hopefully someone wants to pay me to do that, and I don't know. It's like we're just farting our way through it, you know?
Yeah, and when it's over, dude. I hope when all this thing is done, you'll be able to get back on the road and tour. People need to go see you.
Thanks, man. Likewise.
I think you're very talented. I hope when I come to New York, when all this is done, we can sit down and drink one and enjoy our time together.
Oh, because, let's definitely do that. I'd love that.
That would be very nice, dude. So I end the episodes with a very, very big thank you to you. And I want you to look into the camera when I walk off.
Yeah.
And you got to say one word or one phrase that encapsulates whatever you want to encapsulate right now by yourself when I walk off. So go ahead.
Everything is okay. And nothing really matters all that much.
Mwah. In here, we pour whisk.
You are that creature in the ginger beard.
Sturdy ginger.
Like vampires, the ginger gene is a curse.
Gingers are beautiful.
You owe me $5 for the whiskey and $75 for the horse.
Gingers, oh hell no.
This whiskey is excellent.
Ginger. I like gingers.